Well, now we want to spend a few minutes on a book that had an unusual release in both hardcover and paperback at the same time. It's now number one on the paperback list, and it makes a very unusual claim. Dr. Eben Alexander was near death 4 years ago in a coma brought on by a rare bacterial infection when he says he entered a multi-level heavenly place guided by a beautiful girl on a butterfly wing who had this message for him.
You were loved and cherished dearly forever. You have nothing to fear. There is nothing you can do wrong. The message flooded me with a vast and crazy sensation of relief. It was like being handed the rules to a game I'd been playing all my life without ever fully understanding it. We will show you many things here, the girl said, again, without actually using these words, but by driving their conceptual essence directly into me. But eventually, you will go back. To this, I had only one question. Back where?
Dr. Eben Alexander reading from his memoir, Proof of Heaven, to which skeptics such as prominent atheist Sam Harris say, bunch of hooey. Eben's former colleague at Boston's Brigham and Women's Hospital, Dr. Martin Samuels, says there's no way to know if Eben's claim that the neocortex in his brain was shut down and he had consciousness outside the brain, there's no way to know if that's true. Dr. Alexander says he would have said the same thing before his experience, but he says it was neuroscience that convinced him he's right, because afterwards, he says scans showed the parts of his brain he would have needed for imagination or fantasy were just not working. We want to know more. Dr. Alexander joins us from the studios of Victory FM in Lynchburg, Virginia. Welcome.
Well, thank you for having me.
Were you ever nervous about telling this story?
Well, initially, I was completely blown away by the experience, as are most people who have near-death experiences. And my initial goal was to write up that incredible ultra-reality as a neuroscientific report. What I found, and this is especially important to point out, that I had a very severe case of bacterial meningitis. And that's probably about the most perfect way to mimic human death, because meningitis attacks very efficiently and completely the entire part of the brain where human beings put together their conscious existence. Now, it's true that deeper structures of the brain also play a role in consciousness, but that whole conscious world is put together in the cortex. And if the entire cortex does not exist, there's no way to generate any part of a conscious awareness.
So you looked at all the scans, you went back and looked at all the scans and thought, wait a second, what I should be seeing here, the kind of activity that I should be seeing in my brain to fit the experiences I felt, it's just not happening. Before you talk more about this, this sort of detective work that you did after you came out of the coma.
Yes.
What happened while you were in it? Try to tell us.
Okay.
Where do you think you went?
Yeah, for one thing, my entire memory of my life before coma was gone. So I started out as just this speck of awareness that was in a deep kind of murky, bubbling, muddy bath that was totally unresponsive, monotonous, pounding sounds. Even though I had no words, I might wonder, who or what or where. And that was seemed to go on for a very long time. And then for reasons unbeknownst to me, there was this spinning melody of white light with these beautiful filaments coming off of it, and it was spinning very slowly, and the white light was associated with this absolutely perfect melody, totally different from the pounding monotony I'd been hearing for eons. And as it approached me, it opened up like a rip in the fabric around me, and then I was coming up into this absolutely lovely verdant valley, moving up through it as a speck on a butterfly wing with millions of other butterflies, a beautiful river of living color, swooping and swirling as flowers and blossoms opened up as we went by, going down into the greenery. And beside me all this time was this beautiful girl who had the most loving smile, beautiful blue eyes sparkling, and she just looked at me with this look that was just indescribably loving.
Well, it got even better, because from there you went to a higher elevation and feel you were sitting on the hand of God.
Yes, it was. After that, there was this warm breeze of divinity that went through me. And from that point, we went outside of this universe, and we were out in infinite black void, but also with this brilliant orb of light. And when there, told, again, not in words, but conceptually, that they would show me many things, but that I would be going back. And I didn't know where that meant.
It's pretty extraordinary. But you know what people are saying. I mean, I myself, I had surgery once, and they had to give me an intravenous drug. And in the few seconds after I had it, I felt such a depth of love. I couldn't even grasp it. I turned to the anesthesiologist and told him I loved him. Isn't it possible that this was something that happened, you know, within the last minute of your coma? Maybe all of this happened as you were waking up, when your brain was coming back to function, and was the result of drugs or your brain trying to rewire itself?
Well, I've been through the whole experience in exhaustive detail and with colleagues discussing the features. The other thing to understand is that it was extremely real and very prolonged and interactive, multiple passages through that earthworm eye view, up through that gateway on the butterfly wing, and then outside of this universe for lessons that went on and on. Then I would go back down through the earthworm eye view, learn that by repeating the notes of the melody, that bright light and melody would come spinning back in front of me, open up again into the gateway outside of all of space and time, and taught more lessons about the physical makeup of not only this universe, but higher dimensional multiverses. It is far, far too much to expect that all that was kind of a random blip that came out of chaos right when my brain was waking up.
But let's get a cynic in here. Physicist and atheist Victor Stenger wrote at the Huffington Post that while you're a neurosurgeon, you're not a neuroscientist. And he asks readers, what's more likely to be correct, that after thousands of years of searching, we finally have proof of life after death, or that this near-death experience was all in your head? I mean, you know, as a scientist who's always based your faith in the brain, you are saying this was outside your head.
You can bet I wrestled long and hard trying to prove this as a brain phenomenon. And as my son had advised me, write everything down from your experience. Don't read anything about other near-death experiences or cosmology or physics. It's important to state that if one of my patients had told me this before my coma, had told me the same story, you know, unless it was another neuroscientist who could give me some of the real details of it, but most people, I would have probably said, you know, that's what the dying brain does. But in fact, I see now how it's far simpler, that a very rich consciousness can occur independently of the brain, and that's what happens when we leave these bodies, when we die and our spirit reunites with our higher spirit. We become much richer in consciousness.
That's Dr. Evan Alexander. His memoir is Proof of Heaven. He says, again, unlike other near-death patients who often meet people they know in heaven or claim to, he had no awareness of his life before this experience. It was all in the moment. He also says in his cover story for Newsweek that, as far as he knows, he's the only person who's had this experience while his cortex was completely shut down and while his body was under minute medical observation in a coma for 7 days. And he claims further proof of his experience that girl that he mentioned on the butterfly turned out to be a sister he had never seen, didn't know he had, until, as he says, he saw her in heaven. Quite something. What say you? Have you had an experience like his? Or are you, like the skeptics, scoffing at it? Let us know. HereandNow.org. More in a minute. Here and Now. Welcome back. We're speaking with neurosurgeon Dr. Evan Alexander. His best-selling memoir, Proof of Heaven, tells the story of his near-death experience, his attempts to explain it medically, and his conclusion that there is a God in an afterlife, and he was there. There are a lot of skeptics, but Evan, you say you would also be the last one to believe this. You trust science. And then the years before this near-death experience, you had a crisis of faith. You're adopted. You found out that your birth mother and father had married and had a family after they put you up for adoption. Initially, they didn't want to meet you. You're eventually reunited, gives you some comfort. But there's one biological sibling you never met because she died before you got to know her. You never seen her. And after your coma, while you were doing all of your research on your coma and near-death experience, a family member, another biological family member, sends you your birth sister's picture for the first time, and you realize what?
Well, that was really what put it all together for me because, you know, in fact, I would say that my faith in God and in prayer that I had had for some of my life, even though it was worn away by my scientific worldview, that faith really was crushed out of existence in 2000 when I sensed a rejection from my birth mother.
This was before you reunited. You wanted to reunite with her, and she
right.
didn't want to. Right, right.
Right. And so, in fact, I spent the 8 years before my coma having completely given up on a loving personal God and completely giving up on any notion of a power of prayer. And I think that's important in understanding where this took me. But suffice it to say, to get back to your question, after I had written all my experience down and then was reading all the near-death literature, I was shocked at all the similarities, but also shocked that my father wasn't there. He had passed over 4 years earlier, and he was not there.
And other people who had near-death experiences had experiences of meeting loved ones on the other side. That's what they said. And you were saying, well, how come I didn't?
Right, exactly. And, of course, multiple times I would come up out of that muck into that brilliant, beautiful, ultra-real, idyllic valley and out to the core outside this universe, and I always had that beautiful girl there. Every time I went through, there she was, reassuring me. I could remember her face perfectly. The visual memory of her was perfect. And yet when I came back and then started reading all that near-death literature, I realized that she was a guardian angel, but how come it was somebody that I had never met? And for me, that and the lack of my father, even though I knew I'd had a very profound experience, how to make sense of it. And as you say, 4 months out is when I figured it all out with that picture.
You got a picture of the sister you never met, and you realized, oh my gosh.
Yeah, it was my birth sister who sent that, and there was a poem imprinted over the picture, and I remember getting it and reading the poem, and tears were just filling my eyes, and I put it up on my dresser, and I was just totally taken with this, that here was this beautiful sister who I never got to meet. She had died 2 years before I even found out that my birth family existed, you know, that my birth parents got married and then had children. And then it was the next day I was reading the Elizabeth Kubler-Ross story about the young girl who had a near-death experience, was deep in coma, and was welcomed into this loving heavenly realm by her brother. And he helped her make a decision about going back, and she came back to Earth. And she was explaining it all to her father and said, but I don't understand. I don't have a brother. And he said, well, you did have a brother, but he died 3 months before you were born, and we'd never told you. And I read that, and I looked up on my dresser at that picture, and all of a sudden, it all came together. And I can't tell you how powerful a moment that was. And I knew exactly who my guardian angel was on the butterfly wing. And in fact, the picture, you know, when I look at it now, and even looking then, it was almost like she was mocking me, like, do you finally get it? And it just was just stunning to me beyond description. And it started to make, everything else started to make sense.
Well, and yet, you know, people hearing this, you know, there's a resistance to it. Given the resistance that there is to these kinds of claims, what do you want to do with what you say you saw?
Well, I think this world is ready for a major transition. And there's so many stories that go along with mine perfectly. Mine just does a very good job of saying that extremely rich consciousness can exist outside of the brain, independent of physical reality. And it explains so much about phenomena that are difficult to examine, like telepathy and precognition, psychokinesis, reincarnation. There's a lot to this that's very powerful, showing us that consciousness and spirit is far more than we might believe with our simplistic conventional views. And I just want to help get that out there. I want to bring science and spirituality back together.
It sounds so profound, but there's also a much simpler message. You know, we're not alone.
We are not alone at all. We are all loved by a creator. This is something that we can all know through centering prayer, deep meditation, and I simply am inviting the world to be open to this and to realize that modern science is perfectly consistent with every bit of this growing spirituality.
Well, quite something. You've given people quite a lot to think about. Dr. Eben Alexander, his memoir of what he's describing as his transformative near-death experience is called Proof of Heaven, A Neurosurgeon's Journey into the Afterlife. We'll have some readings at hereandnow.org. Eben, Dr. Alexander, thank you so much.
Well, thank you so much for having me, and I hope to hear from people. Thank you.
Well, we're sure you will. You have thoughts on this? Go to hereandnow.org. We'd love to hear from you. By the way, while there, that guardian angel, the young woman Eben says, guided him through his tour of heaven. And only after his coma, when he saw a picture of his birth sister Betsy, did he realize it was her. Well, we have that picture of his sister at hereandnow.org. We'll also post for you the writings of skeptics, including atheist Sam Harris, who cites medical literature to debunk Eben's thinking. But, you know, Eben is insistent that the plain fact is that our view of the brain and the body as producers rather than vehicles of human consciousness is just plain wrong. He says there will be a new vision of the mind and body that will emerge. So let us know your thoughts. Have you had a near-death experience? Do you feel you had a guardian angel? Your thoughts at hereandnow.org, on facebook.com/hereandnowradio. We'd love to hear from you. Still ahead, the latest news, Here and Now.